Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed this morning to be with you today as we move forward in God's Word. And our Word of God this morning is, let all that you do be done with love. Hallelujah. I love that word. Let all that you do be done with love. And I am with you this morning at 6 a.m. in love. I have my grandchildren with me this week, and I'm all excited to have mama duty and have to take them to school. And they have to be there at the time we are normally getting finished with this show. So I am so grateful that God put in my heart just go an hour early. So thank you all for joining me early this morning as we move forward through the day, as we move forward in God's Word. And all I can say is, y'all know what a word is. It's a great word. Oh, my God, it's a great word. Today, we're going to talk about Christ, the coming of Christ in Isaiah. We're going to talk about love in 1 Corinthians. It's just awesome. So get your Bibles, y'all, because this is Bible study. We're going to have our word for this morning, and I'm excited. God woke me up early this morning. You know, I was like, okay, God, I'm getting up. I'm getting up, you know, and I just can't help but say, so good. And I am so grateful to be a child of God. Father God in heaven, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thanking you for just giving me a pep in my step and a joy in my heart to serve you, Lord God, with love. Father God, I ask that this word touches someone's heart this morning as they're getting ready for work, as they're getting ready for their day, Lord God. Let them understand and know that you have loved us from creation. You have loved us since the beginning of time, and you love us now. Father God, may we give you back the love you have given us, because, Lord God, we can't outgive you in love. But let us love each other as the commandments of your Son has given us to love you with every part of our being, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and to love each other as we love ourselves. Father God, help those that don't love themselves to love themselves so they can love others, but to love you above all else. Father, I lift this word up. It's always asking you to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your loving and divine sight. On this day and every day, Lord God, I ask your increase. For Lord God, you are my Redeemer. You are my strength. You are my Father. You are my friend. You are the love of my life. And again, I lift this word up in the name of Christ Jesus. And I thank you in my heart that his sacrifice, that he loved me also enough to give his life up for me and all those who love him and know him. And for all those that do not, he gave his life for all sinners. Known who know him and those that don't, he gave his life, all of us, for this entire world. He gave his life. And all I can say with a humble heart is thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your goodness, for your grace, for your kindness, and thank you, Father God, for your sacrifice, for the love of your creation. I thank you, I praise you, I give you honor, and I give you glory. And I say together with all, amen. Thanking God this morning for his grace and for his love, all of us, that he gave the greatest gift ever, his Son, for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the honor, of the glory, and of hallelujah praise. So let's get in our word. I hope everyone has their word this morning. Again, we are in Isaiah chapter 7 through chapter 8, verse 22. We are also in the 105th Psalm continuously at chapter 105th Psalm, verses 37 through 45. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Wow, drum roll, please. Tomorrow we will be going into a new book. If I'm not mistaken, yes, we will. Because I was like, 1 Corinthians has 16 chapters. So we will be going into 2 Corinthians, God willing, on tomorrow. So let's get started, family. And it says this, now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Ramaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed to Ephraim. So his heart, my normal alarm clock is going off. It's like, it's 6 o'clock. It's time to get up. I've been up. Thank you very much. Thanking God again for waking me up this morning and giving me a do-over. And thanking him for waking you up this morning and you joining me today. So thank you all. And then it goes on to say in our word. So his heart and his and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods and moved with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now to meet Ahaz, son of Jehoahab, your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool, on the highway to the full field, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted. But these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Ramaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, the son of Ramaliah, have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. That says the Lord God. It shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. But the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, so that it will not be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord, this smart man. Then he said, hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. The Lord will bring the king of Syria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly, and is that is in the farthest part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. They will come, and all of them will rest in the desolate valleys and in the cliffs of the rocks, and on all thorns and on all pastures. In the same day, the Lord will shave with a hired razor with those from beyond the river, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the leg, and will also remove the beard. It shall be in that day that a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep. So it shall be from the abundance of milk they give that he will eat curds. For curds and honey, everyone will eat who is left in the land. It shall happen in that day that wherever there could be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver, it will be for bears and thorns. With arrows and bows, men will come there, because all the land will become bears and thorns to any field which could be dug. With the hoe, you will go there for fear of bears and thorns. But it will become a range for oxen and a place for sheep to roam. And we'll do life lessons, and what the Bible says at the end of our lesson, we'll come back and do an overview. Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's pen concerning my heart, Shalahadah, and I will take for myself faithful witnesses to record Uriah, the priest, and Zechariah, the son of Jebediah. Then I will to the prophetess, and she. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Mahar Shalahadah. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria, will be taken away before the king of Assyria. The Lord also spoke to me again, saying, inasmuch as these people refuse the waters of Shiloh that flow softly and rejoice in rising and in Ramah, Liah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bring up over them the waters of the river, strong and mighty. The king of Assyria and all his glory, he will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks. He will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the rock, to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be shattered, O you people, and be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you from far countries. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Gird yourself, but be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Do not say a conspiracy concerning all this people called a conspiracy. Not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Woo! You'd think he was talking to us today. Wow. You think that he just came all the way over and just started talking to the people of God right now. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your joy. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob. And I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel, for the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and murmur, should not a people seek their God? Should they speak the dead on behalf of the living to the law and to the testimony? If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard pressed and hungry. And it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Whew, that's a word this morning. Let's go back into our Old Testament word in Isaiah chapter 7 through chapter 8 and look at the life lessons and also what the Bible says. And again, my daily disclaimer, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I'm coming out of the Signature Series, New King James Version. And I will tell everybody, again, not paid by Dr. Stanley, In Touch Ministries, or any ministry, just to say this Bible is one of the best Bibles to keep in your biblical arsenal. You can read this. I'm reading New King James, but all my King James followers can follow after me. The only difference is thems and thous and a few words, but mostly it is exactly the same, except for written, so it's easier for us to understand. And all I can tell you is Dr. Stanley has been divinely appointed for such a time as this. This Bible is a great meditate on the day and night Bible. When I read to you in the morning, go back and read it yourself, you know, through the day, and you will be touched by it. This is a great Bible to have. And so, again, not paid by this ministry, but tell you, this is a wonderful Bible. So please, if you have time, again, not paid by ChristianBooks.com, but ChristianBooks.com has some of the best Bibles you can get, and they always have some type of discount going on that you can get a Bible for a very reasonable price. So please, get this Bible. If you're going to follow us on Blog Talk or Twitter, on, you know, Facebook, please get this Bible. It is worth your while. We have gone from page one. I think we started in Genesis chapter 1 on page 1, and we are now on page 1082. This morning is where we started. That's how much Bible we have read since January 1st. And so it is so important to study God's Word, because we are living in some last evil days where God's Word is being bastardized, changed, manipulated. But when you read it yourself, you know when you hear it, that's not in context. That is not right. That is not what it says. And why? Because you read it yourself. So study to show yourself approved. Read this word. Get to this Bible. I'm telling you, you will be overwhelmed. Dr. Stanley has been, I will say it, given complete insight into God's word and what God is wanting from his children. And again, another shout out to Israel Houghton. I use Moving Forward, his song, and I tell you, Israel Houghton has got me through some serious times in my life. And all I can say is shout out to Israel and New Breed on new music on his new baby. Congratulations to Israel and his wife on their new child. God is good all the time. So let's get back into our word this morning. And it says this, what the Bible says about the coming of Christ. And we know we just read that in Isaiah 7:14, and I'll read it again. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And again, that is Handel's Messiah, this verse, which I also say is a absolutely awesome musical to go to see. And I saw it in a cathedral and heard the music, went to a concert of Handel's Messiah in a cathedral. And so the voices lifted up, and it was like angels singing. It was the most beautiful, overwhelming thing I have ever seen. So if you ever get an opportunity at Christmas time to go to a Handel Messiah concert, do it. And a soulful, if there is a soulful Handel's Messiah going on, it's also worth going to see. It's just beautiful, but this is one of the verses that's in it. And so let's get into our what the Bible says. So it says that since creation, God was orchestrating world affairs to set the stage for the arrival of his son. In the meantime, he used prophecy to keep alive people's hope for a fresh beginning and a new relationship with him. So many messianic predictions are recorded in the Old Testament that the likelihood of one man fulfilling them all was slim. However, Jesus Christ's birth, life, and death happened exactly as the prophets foretold. Isaiah proclaimed, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us and functions more as a title than a proper name. The angel told Mary to call her son Jesus, which means God saves. So Jesus is the God among us who saves. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 and 23. Micah told the Jewish people their leader would come from the teeny town of Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and we'll be coming to Micah sometimes in the near future. The timing of Messiah's arrival was revealed to Daniel, who recorded the timeline in his writing. Note the word week in Daniel chapter 9, 25-26 actually has the meaning of 7 years, just as in Genesis 29:27. God himself gave a direct prophecy in Genesis 3:15 when he told Satan, "I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." It was an indication that Christ would defeat him. A careful comparison of Jesus' life with the prophecies of Scripture leads only one conclusion. Jesus is the promised Messiah who brings every willing person into a new covenant relationship with the Father. The hope of a coming Messiah sustained the Israelites through centuries of chaos and captivity. That messianic hope is still available in our day through the one who came, died, and rose again for us. Those of us who have received Jesus Christ as Savior have an unbreakable covenant relationship with God and the promise of eternity with him. And I got to read that again. The hope of a coming Messiah stained the Israelites through centuries of chaos and captivity. And I can say it sustained us today. The messianic hope is still available in our day through the one who came, died, and rose again for us. Those of us who have received Jesus Christ as Savior have an unbreakable covenant relationship with God and the promise of eternity with him. I'm looking forward to eternity with Jesus. I want to make it through that narrow gate. I want to be one of the brides prepared with my oil. I want to make it in. And I just thank God every day that he gives us a new day, a do-over, as Mother Rita said, another day above ground. praise God this morning that you are awake and that you are able to hear this word that you have been given a do-over. Isaiah 8 and 13, the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. We do not have to fear the threats of men if we fear God above all else. When human threats seem more real to us than the promise of God, remember, God's word will stand when men turn to dust. We will never go wrong by putting our trust in God and living by his promises, but we will have no end of trouble if we refuse to believe that he will do exactly as he has said. Understand, family, nothing happens unless God allows it. Don't let anybody knock you off your square with a bunch of foolishness. Don't follow after people. Follow after God. You have folks that tear up churches following after people because this person gets mad. They're going to try to take half the congregation because they mad that the pastor preached what they don't want the pastor to preach, or the pastor said something that hurt their feelings. So they gone and they taking half the church with them because they starting their own ministry. We have so many churches destroyed because of foolishness and pride of men. We've got to love God more than we love anything. Don't bow down to people. Bow down to God. And it's on your knees and giving yourself to the Lord. Don't make anything you praying over say you praying to God. Don't put a cross down and pray to that. Don't put anything down and pray to that as your God substitute. You don't have to have that. All you have to have is your need and love for God. He is there. And you don't need anything made by man's hand to represent him. Hallelujah. We got to know who our Father is. Isaiah 8 and 20, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We live in a time when men demean the Bible and value their wisdom and insight above all else, but never bet against the word of God. Regardless of current opinion, it proclaims the truth and will be completely vindicated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Samuel, for your words of wisdom. I know in my heart they are God-inspired. And as we go into our 105th Psalm, verses 37 through 45 again, thank you all for getting up so early with me this morning. And it says, he also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribe. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. Remember, we're in the process of a history lesson. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the land of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 30 through 34. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. You can't be lazy. We got to go to work for God. We got to go to work, period. God does not, we don't have time to be lazy servants. We got to go to work. And it's time to work for God. Get up. Get out of your bed. And go to work for God. We got to go to work. Whatever your work is, and you can do it. God, is so in charge of everything. And sometimes our work is from our bed. Sometimes our work is giving a word to inspire a word to get someone else up, moving, and doing what they need to do. I take care of seniors. It is the love of my life. I am so grateful for what I do. And I have some that have been bedridden. And they have such awesome words of wisdom that I can do nothing but thank God every day for the blessing of working with those that are wise, those that have lived life, those that give you pretty great insight into things. So if you have seniors in your life, if you have grandmothers and mothers and those that are sick, are shut in, go see them. Go visit them. Go love on them. Because I tell you this, they will give you wisdom that will surpass any understanding. You know, folks ask me, I went from being an executive to working in home care. And I've been like, well, why don't you be a teacher? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? You know, those quote-unquote more dignified positions. And I tell you this, this is the most dignified position I've ever had, to work and help someone who is about to transition. And for them to wait until you get there, because they want you to pray for them and to hold their hand as they go to be with the Lord. There's nothing more rewarding than knowing that you took God into that home and that you took his love into that home and that they can feel the love of God that emanates from you and that you bring a smile and you bring joy. And that's what we are supposed to do. Whatever your work is, take God with you into it. So I thank God all the people I have worked for that have transitioned, because I know they transitioned because they were ready and that they had a prayer and they had a smile and they had the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. And if they didn't know Jesus, they got to know him because I brought him with me into the home. And I prayed over the home every time I walked through the door. Every room I went in, I prayed over the home and asked God's anointing and protection. And I can tell you, only one home did a fire break out, and God gave them double for their trouble. And not one person was hurt. Not even the dog. That's God. Whew, hallelujah. Let's get into our New Testament words. This host just got all filled up. Because I just think about how good God is and how much he loves us. And when you go in life, love will trump hate every time. We got to love each other. And when you hear the tears in my eyes, it's not sadness, it's joy. Because God has given me the capacity to love. To love. Love is important. And you know how it makes you feel when you see someone you've worked for and they have Alzheimer's. And they don't remember your name. But I had a lady I worked for who I spoke to because she had been moved to a facility. And I was very happy to see her. And I said, asked her, do you remember me? Remember your name. But I remember your beauty. And then she kissed me on my jaw and gave me a hug. She didn't remember my name, but she remembered my gift. So think that through when we talk about love today. Because God loved us enough to send his son, and he gave it to the prophet Isaiah to say, my son is coming. How God loved us enough to take us out of Egyptian bondage. Loved us enough to take us out of slavery. Loved us enough to take us home. Loved us enough to give us the desires of our heart. Loved us enough to give us a Paul who, like us, was a sinner, saved by grace. And this is what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, when we're talking about offerings, tithes and offerings, and it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also on the first day of the week, and we know that's Sunday, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letter, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go, also they will go with me. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear. But he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me. For I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to come to you with the brothers. But he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come. And when he has a convenient time, and this is where our word is coming from, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. Let all that you do be done with love. That's our title for this morning. Let all you do be done with love. Isaiah prophesied over Israel because he loved God and he loved God's people. God loves us and he wants us to love each other. All this bigotry and hatred and phobias over everything is not of God. God is love. I tell you this, God put it in my heart. How do you stop abortions? It's not all these laws and everything. It is love. When you love these young women or whoever is going to have a child, when they feel the love of God and God's people, an abortion is not in their spirit. It is not in their mind. They don't want it. They want to. They know they have a support system. They know they have people that love them and they will not have an abortion. And I'm speaking to the people of the church. I'm not talking about the world, those that are using it as, were using it as birth control. I'm not talking to those folks. I'm talking to the church, because so many times we as the body of Christ forget how to love. We see that young woman coming into church pregnant without a husband, and the first thing that comes to mind is judgment. We judge these young women, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old without husbands, who are in high school and who are in college, that come home pregnant. We want to judge instead of open our arms and love them. So what they do is they get abortions to hide their sin in school, to hide, and the parents, because they may be in ministry, hide their child's pregnancy so that nobody will judge them. Come on, I'm just telling it like it is. We got to cut it out, because there was a whole bunch of Christians who were forcing their children to have abortions because they didn't want to look bad in the church. I'm just going to call it straight. And some were pastors and preachers and teachers. We got to stop it. God wants us to love. God wants us to embrace that young baby. God wants us to embrace that young woman. God wants to be loving and kind. And when we're loving and kind, we don't need these all these laws. We don't need to dictate anybody's business. What's going on between a woman and her doctor, between that woman and her doctor and God. And we shouldn't be in the doctor's office with people. We're getting too much into folks' business. And understand God is in yours. So as you judge and as you throw out that shade and as you make all these laws, because that's what you feel, not what God says, but what you feel, God is going to hold us all accountable. God is going to hold us accountable for husbands losing wives. Come on now, let's call it straight, folks. People losing lives. God will hold us all accountable. This is what I say for all my pro-life brothers and sisters, because I'm pro-life. Yes, I am. And you can hate me if you want to. I am pro-life, and I'm proud of it. But let me tell you something. When I say pro-life, I mean I am pro-life. I am not for the death penalty. I am not for executing people, because God will be the judge. And I am not for abortion. But I also understand that women lose children because God chooses it. I had a miscarriage, and it was the worst thing that ever happened in my life. But I tell you this, God gave me a replacement child, two and grandchildren. God did everything because God opened my heart to love. That is devastating. And I know that these young people don't take what they do lightly. I wanted my child, but I know that God loved them best. Everything is God's doing, and God does everything for a purpose and a reason. God will change lives. God has changed lives. Don't vilify, lift up family. We are being hated because there's so much hatred coming out of those who claim to love the Lord. And God is saying, that's not who I am. I am a God of love. And Paul says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. God is not a procure of hate and violence and destruction and distrust. That's not of God. If you say you love God, listen and watch. Is that person that you put on pedestal, are they representing God? Are they representing themselves from the pulpit to the White House? Watch as well as pray. And as Paul tells us in his salutation, I urge you, brothers, you know the household of Stephanas. That is the first fruit of Acacia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunius, and Acacia. Having a moment this morning. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in the house. Now, understand. I want to say this because, you know, we got our brothers and sisters out there to say, women can't do this and that. Paul did not say Aquila has a church in his house and Priscilla helps him. He did not say that, did he? Because it was Priscilla that broke stuff down to Paul when he became a Christian, when he became this missionary, when he became this apostle, when he became this evangelist, when he became the person that he became was Priscilla that talked to him and broke it down. And he says, the church of Asia greets you, Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation with my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, O Lord God. And I'm going to say it one more time. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, O Lord God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. And our life lesson from this word is this. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. Paul instructs believers to give to God on a regular proportional basis. Regular as is opposed to sporadic, intermittent or rarely, and proportional to income rather than based on a set or arbitrary amount. Come on now. What you get, give some to God. A tenth is not. You know, pay your tithe. Give your time. Give your talent. I call it the three T's that you give to God. Your time, your talent, your tenth. 1 Corinthians 16:7, I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. Paul wisely made all kinds of plans for his travels and his evangelic work. But he even more wisely left those plans in God's hands to fulfill, alter, or scrape as the Lord deemed best. I love it. I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. Everything is if the Lord permits or God's will. 1 Corinthians 16:9. A great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. The blessing of God in this case, the opening of a great and effective door, often comes bundled with difficulties. In this case, many adversaries, we should not grow discouraged by the difficulties or become presumptuous because of the blessing. Catch that. In 1 Corinthians 16:22, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And Dr. Kelly tells us after the Lord returns for his people, it will be too late for unbelievers to turn to him in faith and so bask in his love. That is why the right time to get right with God is always right now. And I say one more time, family, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, Let all that you do be done with love. And that is our word for this morning. God willing, we'll be back together tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we go through the word of God. And I just have a prayer this morning to give to you from our 365 days of prayer. And for today, more like you. I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 and 6, TPT verse. And I'll go back and read that in King James in just a moment. But let's get our prayer. Beautiful one, you have not given up your work in me. Thank you for your love that gives me new life and renews my weary soul. You are the one who started this work in me, and you aren't going to quit and walk out on me now. I want to look more like you as I mature in you, walking with your spirit as my guide. I find that my nature is becoming like yours. I am so grateful for the way you love me to life over and over again. You don't grow tired of pouring out grace to those who need it. Lord, read the thoughts of my heart that are set on you. I rely on you for every good thing. This life is a gift, and your presence is the force that continually shapes me into who you always dreamed I would be. May I become more like you with each passing day. And the word is this: how do you see God's likeness showing up in you? Hallelujah. Is your likeness bright? Are you loving? Are you kind? Do you reflect your Father? That's all I got this morning. We will have a word from Sister Carolyn on tomorrow because I'm a lot earlier than normal. So thank you all for listening in. And I just say today, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Trust God in everything you do and watch him work in your life. And know that he is working in each and every one of us. And he wants us to be the best us we can be. And that is loving. That is kind. That is generous. That is compassionate. God wants us to be like him, to reflect who he is in us. And as we go back into the word for this morning, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that is our word for this morning. And I have just read Philippians chapter 1, verse 16. New King James Version. Thank you so much, family. Be blessed, and thank you all for joining me this early, early morning as this grandma's got to go take some babies to school. I love you all. Be blessed. Have a great and wonderful day, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, and remember, let all that you do be done with love. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.